And I'd also like to encourage you to be fully, fully, fully present with this call, okay? Because this is your life we're talking about. This is your life. And that's a huge thing, you know? Here you are living your life, and what you do with your precious, precious time is hugely important. In fact, there's nothing more important than your life. So really pay full attention. I encourage you to get some pen and paper so you can take some notes. And just look out for the things that touch your heart. Look out for any aha moments and see how these things apply to your life specifically. Because as you learn those things, as you look out, as you're aware, then you're going to learn some stuff today that can literally change the course of your whole life. So, let us begin. So the reason I'm doing this call is because I do lots of coaching and courses, and this question of what am I here to do, what is my dharma, what is my purpose, so many people keep asking me this. So I thought, well, I need to at least you know, come up with some live calls. And I'm going to do more things as well, because I really feel that each one of us has so much to experience and so much to give. So really working out what that is and getting on with it and experiencing it and living that is undoubtedly the most important thing to do. So in this call, you're going to learn about what Dharma actually is, what it means, what it is. You're going to learn about why it's so important to follow your Dharma, and why it's such a problem if you're not following it. We're also going to learn how to discover your Dharma, and also how to live your Dharma, because it's one thing discovering what your Dharma is, and it's another thing actually applying it so that your life is the embodiment of that. And I'm also going to be sharing with you some of the things to avoid, some misconceptions and things to watch out for as you're going through this process. And I'll also be sharing some of my own story and also some wonderful quotes that talk about this that I really appreciate. So first of all, let's just talk about the signs of not knowing your Dharma. How do you know if you're not following your Dharma, if you don't realize your Dharma? What are the signs? Well, some of the typical signs are that you feel bored. If your life feels a bit boring and you're not really feeling excited, and you know your day-to-day reality is maybe feeling a bit pointless, a little bit of dissatisfaction, even if you're thinking thoughts in your head, why am I doing this? How come I'm still in this job? What am I doing in this place? If you're having thoughts like that, really questioning your life and your reality, and you're feeling a bit low energy and not inspired when you wake up, then that's a very good sign that you're not living your Dharma. Okay, so anything that's low energy and just kind of grey feeling, if there's that grey feeling, you don't really feel there's any point, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, there's not a clear vision, it's because you're not following your Dharma. So, I wanted to touch on why it is near impossible to discover and live your Dharma in our modern culture. Okay? Now, lots and lots of people are not living their Dharma, and the reason is because it's very hard in our culture to really work out what we're here to do and what our life is all about. So, you know, it's not your fault if you don't know your Dharma. It's not your fault at all, because the culture that you live in, your whole lifestyle and everything that's happened up till now, nearly everything has been opposing you finding out what your Dharma is and opposing you living it. So you're not at all, none of us are in a supportive environment. This call we're doing is a supportive environment for you to discover it. I'm all about this. I teach people these things all the time. That's what my life's purpose is. My Dharma is to help you discover your Dharma. So, you know, here you've discovered a supportive environment, but most of the environment, most of the people we come across, most of the situations, television, magazines, media, movies, our parents, you know, the culture, education, is not promoting you discovering your Dharma. So it's pretty much impossible for an average person just to kind of randomly come across their Dharma. What normally happens, it's just good to understand where you've reached and how it's happened. What normally happens is that as children, of course, between the age of, you know, 0 to 7, we're just sponges. We're just sponging up the culture. We're sponging up belief systems and ideas of what's right and what's wrong and how things should be. We're just absorbing all these things. For 7 years of our life, the most informative years, mainly from our parents and then our, you know, our peers and then the education system. So what it basically means, and we might as well recognize this, is that we have been severely brainwashed into a certain way of thinking since we were born, since day one. And so you weren't you know, given the choice and necessarily born into the supportive environment for you to really thrive and flourish, you know. A lot of people, you know, that one of their parents wasn't there when they were born, or there was very dysfunctional things or abuse or all kinds of stuff happened at childhood, and that kind of just screwed everything up straight away for most of us. So given that beginning of our life, given how much we absorbed and how powerfully we absorbed it at that young age, and then of course moving on to school, where, you know, everyone's trying to copy each other, and then there's television, and it's just endless bombardment with programming, and it's still continuing now. You know, we get bombarded with emails, and we get bombarded with, you know, more and more and more of everything. Everything's speeding up. So in that environment, if you think about all the factors, this is a pretty challenging situation to be in, to come out of that and to really find out, who am I? For you to ask yourself, who am I within all this craziness going on, and what am I here to do? You know, to really answer those two questions, who am I and what am I here to do? To answer those questions in this culture is really quite a miracle, because the culture has told you who you are and what you're here to do, but that may have absolutely nothing at all to do with who you really are and what you are really here to do. So now I want to share with you a little bit about what is Dharma, okay? Because it's just a word. What does this really mean? What is the depth of this? It's more than just purpose. You know, people often think Dharma and purpose is the same. It's deeper than that. There's many meanings to it. So the word Dharma actually comes from the Sanskrit dri, which means to support and hold up or bear, to support. Okay, so that, isn't that interesting? The word Dharma comes from the Sanskrit dri, which means to support, hold up, or bear. Okay, it means to support, hold up, or bear. That's what it means. Nothing to do with purpose, yeah? And according to Eknath Esran, who's the translator of the Bhagavad Gita and the Dharmapada and the Upanishads, a very excellent translation of those ancient scriptures. According to him, Dharma implies support from within. The essence of a thing, its virtue, that which makes it what it is. So Dharma is a support, an inner support, the essence, the very essence of life, the virtue, the thing that makes it what it is. Dharma is basically the essence. Like, who are you? What is your essence? What is it that you are supporting? What is, because ultimately, and we can talk more about this, Dharma, your Dharma is about your contribution, your support for yourself and for others and for the world. So Dharma is really all about contribution and support, coming from the essence of your soul, the deepest place within yourself. And just a couple of quotes here I love about Dharma, one from Deepak Chopra. Everyone has a purpose in life, a unique gift or special talent to give to others. And when we blend this unique talent with service to others, we experience the ecstasy and the exaltation of our own spirit, which is the ultimate goal of goals. Okay, I'll just read that again, just to really get a feel. This is the essence of life itself. Everyone has a purpose in life, a unique gift or special talent to give to others. And when we blend this unique talent with service to others, we experience the ecstasy and exaltation of our own spirit, which is the ultimate goal of goals. Deepak Chopra. So, you have a purpose in life, and I want to make that really clear. You definitely have a purpose in life and a unique special talent. And when you apply that unique talent, that unique gift, in the service of other people, then you start to experience amazing experiences of happiness and joy and ecstasy and wonder as your soul comes alive. And that experience is the ultimate goal of all goals of life. Because that feeling of total fulfillment, of wonder, of really living your purpose is just the best ever. And you can't get better than that. And you can't get that feeling through any other thing apart from living your purpose and sharing that with others. So right now, each one of us has so much to give to others. And it's another quote to take this to the next level. Musicians must make music. Artists must paint. Poets must write if they are to be ultimately at peace with themselves. What human beings can be, they must be. They must be true to their own nature. This need we may call self-actualization. And that's from Abraham Maslow. And I just love these quotes, you know, they're very succinct. So musicians must make music, artists must paint, poets must write if they are to be ultimately at peace with themselves. What human beings can be, they must be. They must be true to their own nature. This need we may call self-actualization. So whatever you are, whatever is hidden within you, your gift, your talent, that is what you must be for you to be at peace with yourself and at peace with life. So if there's any feeling that things are not quite right, it's because there's this wonderful gift that you have inside of you that is not actualized. Its potential, it hasn't come forth as reality yet. And once you allow that to come forth, then you experience tremendous joy, you know, and that's definitely been my experience, and there's nothing like it, and that's why I'm here, you know, sharing this with you, because I know how powerful and beautiful this is, and it's probably the greatest gift you could ever have, is to be able to live your Dharma. And a last quote here from Emerson. Nature arms each man with some faculty which enables him to do easily some feat impossible to any other, and thus makes him necessary to society. So that's a bit old school English, but basically what he's saying is that each of us has been given something special that you can do that's really good, that no one else can do. And if you are doing that, you are a massive benefit to society. So if you imagine the whole world, if everyone in the world actually knew their Dharma and lived it, there would be so much abundance in the world. There would be infinite abundance. Because what someone is very good at, other people's need. What another person's good at and loves to do, this is useful as well. And if everyone was doing that, there would be no debts, there would be no stress, there would be no chaos, there would be no, you know, tension. People would actually genuinely love each other, and the world would be a very different place. the reason the world's so trashed ultimately is because people are not following their dharma. They don't know what it is, and the culture doesn't agree with that, you know. So we have the opportunity to really discover our dharma and live it. And, you know, just a few words from my own experience here. Dharma is really a lifestyle. It actually also means duty, your divinely ordained duty. It also means, you know, it can be translated as religion. You know, the true meaning of religion is dharma, which is a way of life, a way of living. So ultimately, dharma is a lifestyle, and that lifestyle includes how you think, how you feel, how you act, your way of being. It includes all aspects of yourself. So your dharma isn't just like a job. It's not like this one thing that you do. Your dharma is your lifestyle, your way, your religion, your contribution, your divine duty. And it includes all the other aspects of your life. It's not just one thing. It includes how you walk around, how you speak, how you breathe, how you feel, your attitude towards life. You know, like you could say the Buddhist dharma is the Buddhist religion. They have a dharma, how they go about things, different versions of Buddhism. And then there's the Christian dharma, and then there's Judaism and Islam and all these other, you know, traditional religions. It's a way of life, yeah? It's not that everyone fits into one of those religions, but you have a dharma, a way of living, and that dharma probably isn't Western culture as it's been, you know, enforced onto us. You have your own way of doing things, which is unique to you. And what I feel has happened to us is that we've been put in a box. We've been put in a box, and that's how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to do things in life. But for us to actually come out of that box, stand away from all boxes and pigeonholes and labels, and think, who am I aside from all these different labels? And how do I want to live my life? What do I want to believe? How do I want to talk? How do I want to sleep? How do I want to eat? What do I want to eat? You know, what do I want to do for work? Who do I want to spend time with? To come away from everything as if you're like above the world in an aeroplane, looking down and thinking, if I was to go down into the world and choose exactly how I want to live, where would I live? What would I be doing? You know, from the heart. When you know that, then you know your dharma. And I also just wanted to tap on what your dharma is not, okay? Because people can misunderstand this dharma thing and think it's something else, okay? So as I mentioned a moment ago, your dharma is not one thing. It's not just one thing, okay? It's not your dharma is to, you know, make, you know, the best foods ever to support people, yeah? Healthy food or something. That might be part of your dharma, but it's also for you to look after your own health, to talk to friends, to, you know, do, you know, yoga or do this and go travel places. There's a whole lifestyle. So your dharma is one main contribution that you be giving, but your whole life is a contribution. Just you standing at the post office, you know, waiting to post a package. Just how you do that, how you smile at people, how you act in any situation is your dharma, okay? And your lifestyle will support your dharma. So it's the whole thing is connected. It's not one thing only and everything else is separate. It's the whole interconnected experience of your way of being. Another massive misconception is that your dharma means that you have to be a leader or a guru, you know, or some kind of like high ranking person in some organization, or that you have to be some kind of spiritual teacher or things like that, you know. Like, I remember speaking to people about this before, and I remember this one guy telling me, he said to me something like, I can't do what you're doing. You know, I don't know anything about, you know, teaching and all this stuff. And I said to him, where did you get the idea that your dharma is just do what I'm doing? You know, I mean, everyone's dharma is unique. They're all just as good as each other, and they're all valid, and they're all important. It doesn't have to be look a certain way. You don't have to have everyone as a teacher. It doesn't have to be like a musician or an artist or some kind of, you know, revolutionary. So a lot of the times people can think dharma means these extreme things that are very noticeable and publicly celebrated, that everyone knows about, and it's this wonderful revolution and highly creative. Doesn't necessarily have to be like that at all. Your dharma might be just being a really good mother and looking after your children and helping them grow up in a way that's really, really beautiful and allows them to discover their dharma. That can be your dharma, you know, for a period of time. You could be even, you know, like left brain things like becoming an engineer or architect and things that are not, you know, creative in the traditional sense of like art and music. It could be your dharma is just to cut coconuts and smile at everyone as they get fresh coconuts from you or something. And as long as your lifestyle, your mission, your duty, your part in the world is nourishing and is giving, is contributing, and you feel good, then it's your dharma. Okay, so I'm just saying that because we can put all this pressure on ourselves. We should be like Oprah, we should be like, you know, Eckhart Tolle or something, you know. And it doesn't have to be like that. Could be, you know, not to say that it won't be. Could be, who knows. But whether it is or whether it isn't, what degree things are, you know, don't look at others to try and find out what your dharma is. Okay, this is important. So you be open. It could be one thing, could be another thing, but it includes your entire lifestyle. And a lot of the stuff in your dharma, just so you know, I'll be touching on this later, but a lot of the things to do with your dharma you can do right now. You can do right now. Okay, we're going to be talking about that as we get a little bit further down when we talk about how. So I just wanted to share a little bit about why. Why follow your dharma? Why is it the best thing to do, to follow your dharma? Well, this is a very famous quote I'm going to read you from the Bhagavad Gita. A lot of these concepts of dharma come from the Bhagavad Gita and the Buddhist scriptures. So the Bhagavad Gita, this is, I love this quote, this always stuck out to me personally. It is better to strive in one's own dharma than to succeed in the dharma of another. Nothing is ever lost by following one's own dharma, but competition in another's dharma breeds fear and insecurity. Alright, it's better to strive in one's own dharma than to succeed in the dharma of another. Nothing is ever lost in following one's own dharma, but competition in another's dharma breeds fear and insecurity. So, a lot of us are striving to succeed in someone else's dharma right now. The world is full of people trying to live someone else's dharma, and they might be succeeding in it in some way, but there is all kinds of fear, insecurity, pain, and that comes with it. Whereas when we follow our own dharma, nothing is ever lost. Okay, nothing ever can ultimately go wrong, even if things seem to be a bit of a mess sometimes. Nothing is ever lost because it's your dharma. And just to take this to the next level, there's another quote from the Gita. It is better to perform one's own duties, dharma, imperfectly than to master the duties of another. By fulfilling the obligations he is born with, a person never comes to grief. No one should abandon duties because he sees defects in them. Every action, every activity is surrounded by the defects, as a fire is surrounded by smoke. Powerful quote. So it's better to perform your own duties imperfectly. Whatever is your dharma, perform it imperfectly is better to do that than to master the dharma of another. When you do your own dharma, you never come to grief and pain, suffering. No one should abandon their duties because they see defects in your duties and your dharma. Every action, every activity is surrounded by defects, as fire is surrounded by smoke. So in other words, just do what you've got to do. Discover your dharma, and we're going to talk more about that in a moment, and get on with it, even if it's not perfect. You might be really good at living someone else's dharma right now. You may be an expert at doing something that's not your dharma, but it's never going to work out for you, and you're never going to feel happy doing that. And doing your own dharma, you may screw up all the time, make all kinds of mistakes, but it's your dharma. And in fact, everything has got defects, surrounded with defects. No one can create perfect action. There's always something a little bit wrong about pretty much everything if you really start analysing it. So going for perfection in your dharma and thinking if it's not perfect, there's something wrong with you, that whole mentality is not going to work out very well. So realise that your dharma isn't something that you're going to do perfectly necessarily, but it's yours, it belongs to you, and you're going to contribute so much to the world through that. And just to clarify again here about this perfection, you know, trying to be perfect all the time, just a quick quote from Abraham Maslow: there are no perfect human beings. Persons can be found who are good, very good indeed, in fact great. There do in fact exist creators, seers, sages, saints, shakers and movers, even if they are uncommon and do not come by the dozen. And yet these very same people at times can be boring, irritating, selfish, angry or depressed. To avoid disillusionment with human nature, we must first give up our illusions about it. Okay? Don't worry about being perfect, but get on with what you've got to do. No one can do it. And there is no worse sickness for the soul, O you who are proud, than this pretense of perfection, says Rumi. So you don't have to be perfect. You just need to get on with it. So just very briefly, I'm going to share about how I discovered my dharma, and then I'm going to be getting on some exercises that you can do to discover your dharma and start living it. So I remember when I was 18, years old, I was traveling, I was living in England, I went to Africa on holiday, on a vacation. My father came from South Africa, so we went to South Africa, and I remember that I'd become a vegetarian, and that felt better. I remember that was a big shift for me. But when we went on that trip, you know, I started eating meat again. I was drinking and smoking all the time, you know, you can get, you know, South Africa is kind of like a very meat eating place, lots of alcohol. So I ended up, you know, just numbing myself and just felt really kind of sick, basically. So I, you know, it was, in a sense, it was a fun trip, but then I got back and I felt completely depressed and sick, physically, just and mentally, emotionally, spiritually dead, pretty much. Even though it was kind of cool, I wasn't following my dharma. I was so off the track, and all my friends, we all used to do is smoke cannabis and go to parties and whatnot. And I was kind of, part of me was just dying, was sick of it. It was really hurting me. Even though, like, on the outside I had a really cool life, but on the inside I was suffering. And I used to go from the, you know, gave up all the different types of drugs, and I had the best kind of drugs, the most clean, the best quality, and I was a bit of a connoisseur. And then I just thought, none of this stuff is even having an effect on me anymore. I just feel miserable. So I gave everything up. Gave up smoking, drinking, everything. And I remember just feeling so, you know, elated and so happy, and just like, whoa, this is amazing. And then my mother actually taught me meditation that she'd learned. And she'd been telling me about these things for a while, but I wasn't interested because I didn't really want to know what she was doing. But I just remember I went through that process, gave most of my habits up that were hurting me, and started doing meditation. And I remember her telling me that, you know, that your original nature is a soul. You're a spiritual being. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. You are a soul. You are light, you know. And it had such a powerful impact on me, because I remember thinking, who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? What's going on? And for, to hear that I am actually a soul, I'm a spiritual being, consciousness, I am consciousness, consciousness inhabiting body, that was such a relief for me, because that gave me back my identity. I am a soul, you know. I'm not this person with all this history. I'm an eternal spiritual being. And that really totally changed my life, actually, that when I realized that. And if you haven't heard these things, haven't realized this, this is probably the biggest thing you ever come across. Who are you really, you know, before and after death? And, you know, who is this being who's alive? It's the soul. And then I had a vision. I had a vision of myself in the future. And I still remember it. I was sitting on in her room. She had like a little meditation room, and I was sitting on the chair or on the bed or something. And I had this vision of myself at a fork in the road. Like, I've been going down the road and this path, and it went off in two directions, the higher path and the lower path. And I could see it. And I could see 2 years into the future on both paths. And one path was just the same way that I was going, hanging out with my friends, drinking, smoking, parties, you know, teenager stuff. Usual thing most people are doing. And the other path was becoming, you know, a meditator, you know, learning about spirituality, having a much more pure lifestyle, learning about service. And I saw myself 2 years at either side. 2 years carrying on the way that I was, I felt kind of depressed and kind of sick. 2 years going for constant happiness, natural happiness, you know, happiness beyond, you know, just the little tidbits of happiness from little things, just real natural happiness. How would I feel after I've been pursuing that for 2 years? And I could just see the difference, you know, just this huge difference. And it was so powerful, that vision, that image, that I basically immediately just blew everything else out that I was doing and just focused on that. And pretty much since then, that's been, what's that been now, about 14 years now, that's been the direction that my life has been going in. And I'm very, very glad that I made that decision, because I have no idea what I would be like otherwise. So that for me was just the moment where I really changed everything and realized that my dharma is in my lifestyle, how I was living. You know, I wasn't going to all these bars and getting drunk all the time and just hanging out. I was spending time with spiritually minded people, doing things that I loved, you know, that were for service of others, and really deeply understanding myself and purifying myself. So that you know, has led to various companies that I have now, you know, Success Ultra now, and Superhero Training, Releasing the Brakes. I've got all these things that I do now that has come as a result of that, ultimately. And so that totally changed my life. And it's allowed me to live the lifestyle that I live here now in Hawaii, where I'm just living, you know, literally I'm looking out the window, I see a beautiful valley, blue skies, I've just been to the ocean, coconut trees, I'm looking out the window now, got beautiful orchids around, it's just amazing here. And I'm what am I doing with my time? I'm sharing with you about Dharma. I've got all these different companies that serve people, coaching and helping people really move forward in their life. And that's basically what my life's about. And that started back in 1997 when I had that vision. So that just gives you an idea of how powerful these visions are and the result, you know. And I feel amazing nowadays, you know. I often just wake up with just joy pouring through me, and I just feel nourished and looked after in a way that I never felt before. And so that's what I want for you, is to find that for yourself, so you're living the lifestyle connected to your heart, living the way that is in tune with you, your soul purpose, your real purpose. So, without further ado, we're just going to do some exercises for you to discover your Dharma. Okay? Hopefully, by now you have an idea of what your Dharma is all about. Understanding, you know, the essence of what Dharma is, so that you can apply that to your own life. And there's just a few questions, you know, that really hit home. And after the call, I'm going to send you an email with some other kind of much more in-depth exercises to discover your strengths and various things, which we're not going to do now because it just takes too long. And you can do that in your own time. But what we're going to do today is get to the bottom of this, get to the essence of it, so that you can really see the direction that your life could be going in, you know, starting now. So I'm going to ask you this classic question that I ask people all the time, which is really poignant, and I'd like you to take, you know, a few minutes to tune into this and to answer it. So the question is, imagine you now have all the time and all the money in the world, plenty of time and money, no worries about time and money, and you have no fear, loads of time, loads of money. Imagine someone's given you $5 million or something, and you've got plenty of time, plenty of money, and you have no fear. What would you do? Alright, imagine you have all the time and money in the world. We have no fear. What would you do? Big question, so just feel into it. Just put yourself in the future. Imagine all of a sudden someone gave you loads of money, and all of a sudden you have all this time. You don't have to do anything else. You can do whatever you want, and you don't have any fear. You've been freed from fear. What would you do? I asked this question to my friend, and she said she would, you know, have her teeth done and have her kids looked after and have a few things and buy a house and a few things. And once that was taken care of, she would then spend the rest of her time having retreats and doing philanthropist work and just funding projects that were really cool, that helped people. You know, that's, so I asked her to do it, and that was her vision, you know. So really, that's, you know, probably what her Dharma is. To be giving, give, give, give. But well, whatever it is for you right now, based on where you're at, how you can see things. If you had all the time and money in the world and no fear, what would you do? Just think big, open your heart, don't worry about how and why and what. This is just a wonderful exercise to open your mind to see the big picture. You have all the time and money in the world now. What would you do? What is new and different? Now you have all the time and money in the world. What are you doing? just going to give you a couple minutes to just write stuff down. Whatever comes, write it down. Allow this to happen. Allow yourself to experience the answers coming through. Just write it all down. Don't censor it. Just write it all down. If I had all the time and money in the world, I would still be talking to you on the phone right now, because I love to do this. This is my dharma. So you can keep giving me as much money, you know, I can get money from wherever, and more time, and I'd probably just do more of these, actually. So if there's stuff that you're already doing, that you'd still be doing, that's a good sign. It's a good sign. So just one more minute and then we can move on. Just allow the vision, draw a picture if you want to. Whatever feelings, what are you feeling? What are you doing? Who are you with? How is your life new and different? Wonderful, so just wrap up whatever you're writing now. So now I'm going to ask, you know, a classic question, you might have asked this before, and there's some exercises I can send you to really get clearer about this, but just to spend a minute or two now. What are your natural gifts and strengths? What are your natural gifts and strengths? You know, so for example, I've always been naturally good at teaching and art and seeing big picture of things and being creative, you know, just naturally, right, since I was a child. So that's basically what I do. I teach, I create beautiful things, and I see big picture, and I help other people create things. So I'm just using the strengths that I have to serve others, you know. So you have your own natural strengths and talents, and don't think you don't have them. Some people, oh, I haven't got any. Oh, yes you do, absolutely you do, there's no doubt about it. And how you can find this out is, if just imagine, when have you done things and people have said, oh wow, that's great, thanks so much, and to you what they're saying is, it wasn't a big deal at all for you. You just kind of did something and that was it and you moved on. But they were appreciating you for it. You know? Like, I do courses and stuff and just share with people and they're, oh, that helped change my life, I helped that so much. And to me it's like, well, you know, of course I like doing it and I, you know, value that a lot, but it's easy. So the stuff that you do that is really amazing, simple or big or small, it doesn't matter, you know, but you do it and it's easy for you to do. It's a strength that you have. So what are your strengths and natural talents and gifts? It can be, you know, creativity, it can be thinking clearly, it could be, you know, organizing things. It could be that you're optimistic, whatever. It's going to be quite a few things. Just put the main three down. You know, you can write as many as you want, but then just look at that list. What are your strengths and natural gifts? and let's just wrap that one up when you're finished writing the sentence. We can go back to this later. This is just getting you going, okay? Now then, what things can you do all day long, all day and night, that your time just disappears in your joy? What things do you do that, you know, you might be drawing or you might be doing something and you just enjoy it and you could do it all day and time just disappears and you don't even know what happened? What are those things? What activities? There are some things that you do that you just, the time, you don't know what the time is. You don't even care about the time. I find that with writing myself, you know, just I might be writing articles or a book or something and it just disappears. And where did it go? And like I said, there's going to be some more questions you can do for more detail, but just put down whatever comes forth for you. Alright, wonderful. Now we'll ask another question here, which is massively important. They're all very important. This is a huge one because it helps you see the big picture and how your life fits in with the big picture. I'm just going to read you a quick Einstein quote. A human being is part of the whole, called by us as the universe. A part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings as something separated from the rest. A kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to the affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison. From Albert Einstein. So, the reason I just read that to you is because let us ask, what is your highest vision for the world? Recognize that each one of us is connected to the whole world. Everything you do is affecting everything else. Okay, it's not just you and your family and immediate friends. Your life, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, we're affecting everything and being affected by everything. So the more you have a vision for the world that includes everyone being happier and the whole world being better, the more that's going to be good for you. So your dharma is, if it really is your dharma that you're living, it's going to be good for you, for your own joy, going to be good for others, for their joy and their success, and it's also going to be good for the world in general, the big picture. So I'd like you to just think about this for a moment. And then I understand I'm asking you some pretty hardcore big thinking questions, but really this is extremely important because this is your life we're talking about. And when you look back over a period of years, once you know the answers to these fundamental questions, your life will have so much more meaning and so much more purpose and so much more juice because you know the answers to these things. So what is your highest vision for the world? Imagine in 20 years time. And imagine the world being better in 20 years, and it has been improved. What would it look like? What would be new and different in a more wonderful world? What is your utopian vision for the world? Okay, because vision creates the world. So whatever your vision is, it's going to help to create a better world. And it's also going to help you to really recognize the value of your life and your dharma in the world. So just spend a few minutes noticing what the world would be like, you know, as best as you can see now with the time limits we have. Imagine what is your highest vision for the world. How could the world be? You know, what would a better world look like? How would it feel? How would it sound? What would it look like? What would be there? Would it be better education? Would it be, you know, more abundance for everyone? Would there be, what would be a better world? Just write down your vision. Okay, spend a few moments. Would there be less pollution? What would it look like, feel like? 20 years time, the world is now improved. What is new and different? Wonderful, we just wrap that up for a moment. In the next 30 seconds or so, finish what you're writing. And you can come back to these things. I do understand these are very, very big questions, and we don't have unlimited time because we are connected on the phone. So you can come back to this. I'm just sparking things. And by the end of this process, you will have a better idea of what your Dharma is and how you can start applying that. But I also, it's taken me, you know, years and years and years, so it's going to take you more than 20 minutes to work out. But you can definitely get a really, really good head start and make powerful steps forward with these processes. So the next question is, what is your highest vision for others? Okay, because your Dharma is going to be helping others, serving others. And as you serve others, as you add value to other people's lives, then of course your life is going to be rich. If you look after others, they look after you. This is just the law of karma. So imagine in the future the actual lives of other people. How is their lives better? How are their lives going really well? Imagine people being wealthy, happy, peaceful, fulfilled. Just make a note of how that would be new and different. What would be new and different? What would be an improvement in the future as people are living their Dharma? Let's just wrap that up and you can come back to this. And now it's about you. Okay, it's counterintuitive. Normally we think all about ourselves first, but if you think about others first and how you're contributing to their lives, that really puts you in a place of power and meaning, and your own abundance and all your own needs are definitely going to be met that way around. So now imagine, what is your highest vision for yourself? In the future, what kind of lifestyle would you be living? This might be similar to the other question, it might be a bit different, but what is your highest vision for yourself? If you're living your Dharma, doing what you love, contributing to others, what would you be doing? What would be new and different? Just make a note of your lifestyle, things you'd be doing, how you'd feel. What is your highest lifestyle? A lifestyle that's going to really bring you joy and will allow you to serve others the most. And when we talk about service, we're talking about really you're giving from your heart. This isn't, you know, some stressful service. This is joyful, where you really love doing what you do. You love doing what you do, and because of what you do, other people are naturally served and they're so happy. Yeah, so you're not sacrificing yourself for others. You're doing what you love and it gives you joy. And because of you doing what you love, other people are served automatically. So what is that highest lifestyle way of life? What is that? How does it feel? What's it look like? How does it smell? How does it taste? Just go into that space, because you can manifest pretty much anything. Allow yourself to experience this. Alright, you can go back to that later on and add to it. And the last question is, how can you contribute? Just specifically about your contribution. You've got this beautiful vision of the world, you've got a vision of others having a better life, the world being a much more beautiful, wonderful place. How can you contribute towards that happening? What is your contribution to the world being a better place? And to other people being happier, more fulfilled, more abundant. What is your contribution? How can you contribute? What things can you do to contribute? And it can include, you know, just feeling good, smiling, being loving, as well as practical things like making something or having a, you know, teaching or whatever comes up for you, doing artwork or just being in your job, doing wonderful work and being a blessing to everyone. But how can you contribute to this better world for you and for others? And you can think, what things can you contribute now and what things can you contribute later, you know? Some of the things you can do right now, some of the things you may have to develop. And just remember, everyone has a purpose in life, a unique gift or special talent to give to others. And when we blend this unique talent with service to others, we experience the ecstasy and exaltation of our own spirit, which is the ultimate goal of goals. All right. So let's just wrap that one up. And again, you can come back and add to this. These are very precious questions and precious answers that you have here. Very important. I review these answers to these questions myself on a daily basis. And I have big vision boards. I'm looking at my vision board now. That remind me of this. Because Otherwise, I'll get affected by the dharma of others and get caught up in other people's opinions about everything and life, and I won't be living my dharma. So these questions are extremely valuable to you because they come back to you. You know, I'm only asking you questions, but these are your answers. These belong to you. And as you refine them, you come to understand the essence of yourself and what life is all about, and how you can live a fulfilling, beautiful life. So, those questions, you know, you can go into them in more detail, but they're basically the foundation of really working out what your dharma is. Now, the next thing is to work out how to live and embody your dharma. How to live and embody your dharma. Because someone can do these exercises, work out what they think their dharma is, and then just put it in the shelf and forget about it and carry on with whatever else was happening with all the programming and conditioning. So just knowing is only half of the job done. The other half is actually living and embodying your dharma. So what you have written down there, or what you've thought about, any visions that have come, some of these things you can apply in your life right now, literally. You know, you could be doing them as you're listening to this right now. Other things you can't really do right now, but you can do later on, once you've developed yourself a bit more. So I would love to encourage you to just look at your list, look at your pieces of paper, remember the visions you've just had, and think to yourself, how can you do some of those things now? Which of those things can you do right now? Which ones can you do right now? Some of them you can't do, some of them you can. So just circle the things that you can apply in your life now, or tomorrow, or this week, very, very, very soon. Which ones are they? This is where it gets practical, you know. And just understand that discovering your dharma is a process. Like, I'm putting you on the right track here, helping you get yourself going in the right direction and getting the foundation, which is extremely important, and it's the basis of everything else. And also to know that you will refine these things. They become very specific as time goes on. And the main thing is just to start moving forward. So some of the things you can do right now, so I want you to circle those. Now, on another piece of paper, I'd like you to write down what could you do that would be moving you forward towards this dharma. Your dharma might be something completely different from what you're doing now. And you probably have an inkling, you have a feeling inside you that you should be doing something else. You could be doing something else. There's a feeling. So if you know, you've got a sense that there is something, experiment with it. Find out what is going on with that. So how can you move forward in that direction? You know, if you think that really your dharma is to be a dancer, let's say, you know in your heart parts that that's what you'd love to do and that would be such good service, but you haven't got the time or courage or whatever, just can you, you know, start dancing around the house? Can you go to a dance class? Can you enroll in something? You know, if your dharma is to set up your own company and you know, help people with nutrition or something, and you know so much about nutrition but you've never taken it seriously that you could teach others, how can you get some certification, or how can you start doing these things in your life now? Alright, because you can start doing stuff right away completely for free, you know? Like, I get paid a lot of money for my time, consultancies and courses and everything, because I've developed this, and you know, this is why I do, this is my dharma, and I'm creating massive abundance for other people. Yeah, but I didn't start out charging anything. I used to just do meditation groups for free, did so many things just for free to everyone, because I just wanted to help. And I still do, this is a free call. I love to give. So what can you do that is... that right away that moves you forward towards your dharma, that's completely free? Of course you can charge for things, that's, the money doesn't really matter that much. The main thing is, how can you do that you know you need to do? How can you move forward in that direction? How can you give? How can you serve others now? How can you really start contributing in the way that you want to right away? And you know, with Facebook and YouTube and all these different things, so easy to get out there into the world. So easy. You can create websites easily, you can get email lists easily. Everything's easy nowadays. So you can do so much straight away. So just write down one, two or three things that you could do, three steps maximum, if at least one step that you can do to move you forward towards living this lifestyle. Think outside the box. Anything's possible. You know, if you want to become, you know, a famous artist, you better start drawing or doing some art or looking at art. You know, if you want to be a musician, start jamming with people more often. You know, cut your own record quickly. You know, just do a demo. Just get on with it. And if you're in a job and you haven't got much time, you still have time. You can do an hour in the evening, you know, and move it in that direction. Okay, it can take time to transition 100% from where you are to where you want to be. That takes time, and that needs to just be accepted. That's just reality of it. However, you can speed it up by starting to move in that direction immediately and start serving others. This happens to so many people. You know, they start off, they just like someone might just be making some hot sauce, you know, to put on their food just for them and their friends, and everyone loves it. And then someone says, can I buy some of this? And he says, yeah, alright. And then he sells a few to his friends, and then they tell their friends, and next thing it gets bigger and bigger. And then after a year, he's got a huge company selling this hot sauce. You know, these sort of stories happen all the time. It happens all the time. So what can you do? And have a look at your papers as well, and just think, you know, what are the lifestyle things that you can change, or you can improve, or you can start doing? If you love doing yoga, if you love walking in nature, if you love, you know, doing deep breathing, you know, and that's part of your dharma, it's part of your lifestyle, then what can you do now? What can you do right now? What can you do after this call, literally? How could you start applying these things? If you know toning is good for you, or you know Qigong or Tai Chi, or you know swimming or whatever is good and you love it, then start doing it. What can you start doing right away that's going to get you in the right movement to get you feeling good? You know, like I was sharing this with someone else, a friend of mine. He thought he needed a studio to do his artwork. So he didn't do any artwork for about 2 years, pretty much. Oh, I want to do my paintings. And then, you know, he got his studio, he got a whole workshop with woodwork and everything. And he was doing all these little square miniature pictures. They were only about, you know, like about two and a half inch images. And he could have done them in his room, he could have done them sitting on the bus, you know, he could have done them anywhere. But in his head, he thought he needed this whole thing. So he didn't do any work for 2 years. So it's, you know, we can do this to ourselves. So So you can do so many things right now towards this. And last question for you is, what do you really need to stop doing that is not in alignment with your Dharma? It might be some habit that's not right, some kind of foods or drink that you have that you know you'd be better if you didn't do it, you know? Like, I've just, personal experience, I was, you know, had a Netflix subscription. I don't really watch much movies, but occasionally I would be watching, just not, you know, I remember just finding myself watching some pointless stuff, you know, when I was in the middle of, just didn't want to do anything, wanted to watch a movie. And then I was just like, what am I doing? My life's so precious. I haven't got time to be spent, you know. So I cancelled Netflix. And I told myself to cancel it about 3 or 4 times, and I didn't do it. Because part of me loves just not having to deal with anything, just watching some kind of nonsense to distract myself from all the serious stuff that I do all the time. But it never makes me feel good. I feel much better walking on the beach and doing other things, or doing meditation. So I just said, look, I have to, basically it's not in alignment with my Dharma to have this Netflix, so I cancelled it. And, you know, there was some little part of my ego was a bit upset, but I cancelled it, and I feel better. And now I'm using my time more productively. Not that it was a huge problem or anything, but it was enough of a problem that I felt I was wasting some of my time, so I got rid of it. So that was, to some degree, a little bit challenging for part of me, but really wasn't a big deal. But I'm just giving you that as an example. That's something I cut out. You know, another thing is like wheat and dairy don't really get on very well with me. So as much as I do enjoy pizza and things like that occasionally, it just doesn't work out very well the next day. So rather than, you know, ignoring these things, I want to be healthy, wealthy, happy, abundant constantly, all the time. So overcoming short-term pleasure for long-term joy is, you know, that's my Dharma. So, you know, these things, I'm just being frank, honest with you. So what could you cut out of your life that would really help you feel more joy, really and honestly? Just be honest, be honest, be honest, be honest. Wonderful. So you can just finish up there. Hopefully if you've done these exercises, you have lots of little pieces of paper with all kinds of scribbles on them. And then I'm going to encourage you to, after the call, go through them, maybe consolidate them, tidy it up, and look at those things every single day. What is your big picture vision for the world? What is your vision for others? What would you do if you had all the time and money in the world? What can you do right now? And start doing those things right now. Because as you do, you're transitioning over from where you are to the next level. And remember that your Dharma is a way of being. It's a way of being, okay? It's not just the thing, it's a way of life. So I gave this example yesterday when I was sharing with another class, that imagine somebody gives you a rose, a nice white rose, and they give it to you twice, okay? Imagine they give it to you 2 times. First time they just slap it in your hand, looking grumpy, don't even look at you in the eye, it's just put it in your hand, bit grumpy and walk off, okay? Someone comes to you, slaps this thing in your hand, isn't very happy, doesn't even look at you and walks away, okay? They gave you a rose, isn't that wonderful? They gave you a rose. Now imagine the same person goes up to you with a lot of love in their heart, gently places the rose into your hand, looking you in the eyes with so much love and appreciation, gradually lets go of the rose and then gently walks away. So what's the difference? They both occasions they gave you a rose, but the way they did it made all the difference. So you can live your life, live your Dharma, live the way that you want to live right now. Many, 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 many things you can apply right now to how you stand, to how you breathe, to how you speak, to the thoughts that you think in your mind, to the feelings that are in your heart, to the people you choose to spend time with, you know, the way that you walk, what you look at, what you notice, what you don't notice, you know, whether you're smiling or not smiling. When you go to bed, when you wake up, you know, you could wake up earlier if you wanted to. I was sharing with someone today that, you know, I had a coaching session and she basically said that when she wakes up early, her whole day is great. And when she doesn't, she goes through these stressful patterns where she kind of feels overwhelmed and frustrated. So if she gets up early, she feels great, you know. So when can you wake up that it's going to be the best time for you? What are the foods that are going to be the most in alignment with your spirit, with your soul, with your purpose? Who are the people that are most inspiring to you, that are really helping you live your Dharma? Most of these things you can do right now. Alright, so that's all we have time for tonight. Stay on the call if you would like to know about something else that you can do to take this to the next level. And I hope this was useful to you to get you on the right track. You know, we covered a lot here, and I'm going to be having the recording available to you very soon, so you can listen to this again. And I really encourage you to apply these things, to spend a bit more time, go through the exercises that I'll send you soon, so you get more of an idea of your strengths and your natural gifts, and you start applying this stuff now. Do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now. Because there's nothing more important than your precious life and your precious time. And you can do it, and you do have a Dharma, absolutely. You do have gifts, you do have a special Dharma, you are needed in the world, and there's no doubt about it. So, for those of you who would like to take this to the next level, because there's only so much we can do on a call, got a couple of things here that you might be interested in. One is I'm considering doing a course on discovering your Dharma and going into a lot more detail of these things over a period of weeks, and how you can discover, you know, because you pretty much got the essence of discovering your Dharma already, but how to take it to another level, how to really get deeper and deeper into it, and how to transition over from where you are now to actually living your Dharma fully. Okay, that's what the course is gonna do, is help you go from where you are to there. And it's gonna take some time, and it's gonna require some actual changes in your life. So if you are interested in a course that's gonna help you go from where you are, discover your Dharma very, very clearly and very deeply, and then transition over from where you are to where you wanna be. If you wanna do that, then reply yes to the emails I sent about this call. So I sent an email saying, with the call information, how you got onto this call, reply and say yes. And if I get enough yeses, then I will put together this course for you. So if you want to go from where you are, discover your Dharma and get to the other side, it's going to probably, I'm not sure how many weeks it's going to be, it's more likely to be about 6 weeks. to really do a good job and really have you make those steps, then reply yes. Just put yes in the subject line or in the email. Yes, yes, yes. If I get lots of yeses coming to my inbox, then I'll take that as a yes and I will create something for you. Okay. And the other thing I would like to offer you is, if you would like a personal session with me to talk to you one-on-one to discover your Dharma, and I can ask you more questions and you can ask me questions, we don't have that opportunity on these calls, but if you want to talk to me personally, an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and really kind of drill down and work out exactly who you are and what you're here to do, then send me an email, same address, just reply and tell me about what your situation is and what you want to achieve. And then I'll let you know how we can arrange that situation, some one-on-one coaching with me, private coaching. So there's just two things that I thought would be useful. If this is something that you're passionate about, then I'm here to support you in achieving that. So again, just to mention, first thing is, if you want to do a 6-week course, discovering the Dharma, how to get there, step by step, then just reply yes. And if you want one-on-one coaching with me to really talk to you personally, understand you, help draw the answers out from within you, because you have all the answers. You have all the answers. I just have the questions and the skills to pull them out of you. And so if you'd find that useful, then just send me an email saying what you'd like and request the coaching, and then I'll get in touch with you. All right, so have a beautiful evening, and I can do more of these calls as well. You know, I'm here to support you guys, and hope this was useful. Do the things. If you just do any of the things we've mentioned tonight, you're going to start seeing some shifts. Okay, what I've shared with you today, you can apply and get changes in your life right now. Okay, so go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. Move in that direction. And if you have any comments about tonight's call or any feedback or anything, let me know, because I love just to hear from you guys. Because this, I love to be in connection with you, because it's not just one way. You know, I know that you're there and I really care. So many, many blessings, lots and lots of love from Hawaii to you, wherever you are with your precious life. May you have a beautiful evening, may you have a beautiful life, and may you feel fulfilled and happy and really do what you came here to do. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Lots of love. Aloha.